if I could suggest at the end of this epistle, there's a little phrase that's always captured my interest. The end of it starts with verse 19. And we see that the whole world, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness, or in the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's interesting, in the day that John wrote, there was all kinds of influences, there were all kinds of spirits, and he even alludes to that in chapter 4, about testing the spirits, whether they are of God. And isn't it interesting that you had the Greek philosophies, you had the Roman philosophies, you had the Gnostic ideas, you had all these ideas that were floating around in that part of the world. And what is the only thing that would keep anyone from idolatry? Because the Greeks had plenty of gods. The Romans had plenty of gods. This world is filled with things they call gods. Or today, in this country, we're more sophisticated. We don't call them gods. But there's plenty of things that wrap up the human heart, that demand the human heart. And I'm wondering if John is answering to the only thing that will deliver the human heart from idolatry. It's not religion. It's not just things. It's not just knowledge. It's the knowledge of a person. It's knowing, and I believe that word is found in John's Gospel very wonderfully, know, what we know. And that's why he starts the letter out with what we absolutely know. And he says, we know that the Son of God has come. And to think of this, this is a joyous thought. I personally, I find it the most wonderful theme in all of Scripture, that life eternal, which is what God eternally has, possesses, enjoys, life eternal was lived here on this earth in a person, the person of the Son of God. And they actually saw, they heard, they touched. Isn't that a marvelous thought? And that, will that capture your heart and my heart? The fact that the eternal life was here in a person, the Lord Jesus Himself. And that that life eternal that was manifested and the apostles saw, the apostles experienced, and the apostles understood, they now take that same appreciation and knowledge and they give it to us. And they say, we're giving this to you so that you, your joy, like our joy, might be full. John 15, I believe the Lord says this, that your joy may be full. Well, here it's a fullness of joy at the enjoyment, at the knowledge of divine persons, of this life eternal, Himself in a person that we know. We have this enjoyment of Him. And that is what changes our perspective on everything. And so I just wonder if that doesn't connect here. This it's a delivering power in the person of the Son.
It's wonderful to be able to say, I know, or we know. And that expression appears frequently in this epistle. We know. It refers, of course, to all those that have faith. And faith brings light. Light from the Word. Light from the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, I believe it's part of verse 12, could say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that's a wonderful expression of faith, isn't it? I know. And every one of us here who know the Lord Jesus by faith can say that I know. I know him. And that should be the desire of any who are not sure or not certain of their eternal welfare. You can know. You can trust in the Lord Jesus. And he will never leave you or forsake you. We know all that from Scripture. So the expression we know is a wonderful expression. May it be true of all of us. The word is not difficult to understand. And what we'll have before us today may have some difficulties at times, but it is a wonderful thing to know what the Lord has done for us and to know for certainty that we are saved and on our way to eternity with Him. What does the future hold for us here? nothing but confusion and nothing but separation from God. This is the way of the world. And I don't have to tell any of us here the direction that the unsaved world is going. You just have to look around and you can tell that it is heading for disaster spiritually. It is already there to a large extent, but it is the rejection of the Lord Jesus that creates this. And men and women today do not want to learn about the Lord. And even this expression, "we know," they can't say without faith in the Lord Jesus. And I know the vast majority of us have that precious faith. So this should encourage us. We know.
I was wondering what tremendous value there is in the apostolic testimony of these things. We learn from the book of Acts that, in Ephesians, that which has been delivered to us is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And John, here I understand, is writing, and this is one of the last books that has been canonized or written. And it is John who steps through this whole idea of the fact that incarnate is the Son. He has come in a physical form as a man. And what a tremendous value that is to hear from an apostle, not just another believer, but from an apostle who had been with the Lord, to be able to put a stamp upon the fact that these things are real, that they saw the Lord himself, that they heard his voice, that they handled him. So that for those of us who are pressed in this present day to hear all sorts of false doctrine that would come in, here's one who could say, "I stood next to the Lord. I saw the miracles. I heard his voice." And you can believe that, and you can set aside the doctrines of men that are false concerning his person and his work. Amen.